was going to mention something when I was up here before, and that's anyone that's interested, it's called Restoring the Wonder of Christian Song, and it's put on by Christian Light Education, and it's at, I think it's being held at, Maranatha Church in Drayton on Saturday. So maybe some people have gotten this, but I just thought I'd say something for anyone that's interested. I have a brochure here that we got. Some of the things I thought, some of the topics sound interesting. It's things like, is music a moral issue? And the first workshop is on Friday and Saturday, or all day. I guess my wife, she knows everything about it, but I'm trying to see where the dates are or what day it is. But I know it's on Saturday, and I'm not sure if it starts Friday night or not. I don't think so. No, it's just on a one day thing on Saturday, and it says the music of a tense falling culture. That's one of the things they're talking about. Restoring the wonder of Christian song and 15 characteristics of true Christian music. So, might be interesting to attend there. Well, the topic I chose, I didn't realize it would be that huge. But how many have a verse that they would like to share this morning? Two, three, four. Put your hands up a little higher, maybe. Okay. Maybe we'll do that right away then. For those that didn't get the text or didn't get the message, we're going to talk about knowing God or the knowledge of God, or we'll see what you found in your verses, I guess, and go from there. But so if we start over here, and if we could have someone on the mic there, start at this side, and we'll just go around, and each of you can share your verse and anything else that's with that.
Hello? Okay.
John 17, verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent.
1 John 3, verse 24. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Verse 7 in the next chapter. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God.
I had a few verses in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10 to 16, I'll just read them here. These things God hath revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is of God, who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ.
So that text again, sorry, I wanted to write that one down.
1 Corinthians 2, 6, 10 to 16.
1 Corinthians 2,
10 to 16.
Thank you.
Yeah, my mind went to John 10. Few verses there. Maybe I'll just read 4 or 5 verses. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the shepherd, into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him. For they know not the voice of a stranger." They know not the voice of strangers. And then there's a verse in 27. It says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand."
I was thinking about Psalm 46, verse 1. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble."
The scripture that came to me was in John 12. I guess it would be 20, verse 20 down through 26 maybe, but the main thing there was where the Greeks, a couple of Greeks came to Philip and said, we wish to see Jesus. And then Jesus responds to them, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If any man serves me, let him follow me. Where I am, there my servant will be also." And my thoughts kind of went, to the Jews when Jesus was around, the crowd, it was the same crowd that was saying, "Hosanna." I was trying to look that up quick and I didn't find it. Where he was coming into Jerusalem riding on the colt. They're saying, "Hosanna in the highest." And they were praising God, but it was that same crowd that was very shortly called for Jesus to be crucified. So they didn't really know Jesus or know God in the right sense. And where Jesus says, "Straight is the gate and narrow is the way," and talks about the kingdom of God is taken by force.
I came across Matthew 7, verse 12. It's titled "The Golden Rule." "Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets." That verse has helped me through life. And sometimes it seems it takes a lifetime to get it across, but it is law.
Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And there's another verse that says, "Be still and know that I am God." And my hands are full. I don't know where those references are, but those are the two verses I was thinking of.
I had a couple of different verses in the Gospel of John that I thought of. The very first verse in the Gospel of John: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And then verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. And then John chapter 6, different verses, maybe starting at verse 37. All that the Father giveth me, Jesus speaking, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but to do the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but I should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Skipping down to verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me.
Exodus 10, verse 1 and 2. And the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him, and that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and of thy son's son what things I have wrought in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know that I am the Lord.
In John chapter 5, it's Jesus speaking, and he talks about what the life looks like that knows God. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. The Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater things than these, that ye may marvel.
Daniel 11:32 says, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits.
Sorry, what was that one, Paul?
Daniel 11, part of verse 32.
I read a verse in Philemon that we came across this week. I think it would fit to that topic. Philemon, verse 6. And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. It's because of Christ that every good thing is in you. And we are to know that. Know it. I think basically we are to know, to take knowledge that Christ is in us.
Thank you, everyone, and thank you, David, for being the messenger with the mic there. There's been so many verses. I didn't know if there'd be some that would be the same. But it was a broad variety of verses. And isn't that true? When we open up the Word of God, it's so full of who God is that there's so much to look at, so much to see. I'll just share my kind of the theme verse, or the verse that I chose from Jeremiah chapter 9. It says In verse 23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this. He understandeth and knoweth me. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord. And then it says what he does. I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. And we could have study after study of all those things that were mentioned there. We could talk about the loving kindness of the Lord. We could talk about the judgment. We could talk about the righteousness. One commentator said this of this scripture, that he understandeth and knoweth me. In the words, in understanding and knowing me, he says, for this clause is descriptive of the person that is to glory in the Lord, and not of the thing in which he is to glory. For it is not even in the knowledge of God that men are to glory, but in the Lord himself. And he that understands himself as a creature dependent on God, and especially as a fallen, sinful creature, and still more as one regenerated by the grace of God, he will never glory in himself, but in the Lord. And if so, if he understands divine things and salvation by the grace of God, and not by the works of men, and if he knows the Lord, he will never glory in his own wisdom, nor in his own strength, nor in his riches, nor in his righteousness, nor in any man or creature, but in the Lord only, and particularly in what follows. That I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness. In such various instances, in election, redemption, effectual calling, the pardon of sin, justification, adoption, and eternal life, and towards persons so very undeserving of any favor. And to have an interest in this exceeds all things else. It is better than life and all the enjoyments of it. In judgment, moving on to judgment, exercising it on Christ, sin being laid, found and condemned on him, and through Christ protecting and defending his people, and by Christ at the last day. The righteousness in the earth, wrought by Christ here on earth in our nature, and imputed to his people in their present state, whereby they have a right to eternal glory. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord, in showing mercy, grace, and favor to miserable and undeserving men, in making his son an offering for sin, in bruising him, and in his righteousness, whereby the law is magnified and honorable. Well, I opened up my Bible to Genesis, was reading in the first number of chapters there, and just looking at the different people that, the first people that walked on the earth. When you were saying your verses, where it was different things of people that knew God, of how Jesus knew the Father, how Jesus obeyed the Father, and many different aspects of knowing God. And when we think of the first people, I had to think of, or some of the first people anyway, I had to think of Enoch, and that's what drew me to Genesis. I thought of Enoch, how he walked with God, and God took him. But I didn't know that there was another Enoch. Does anybody remember, know that there was another Enoch in Genesis? I didn't know that until I opened up to study for this. in Genesis, if I can lay my eyes on quickly. Cain, it says, and Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. Now, which would you rather have? A city named after you, or have the testimony that you knew God, or that you walked with God? I had to think of that. How Enoch walked with God, and Cain had a son that he named a city after him. And we know that in these times, Cain, all he could think about was his own physical safety. After he killed Abel, he was concerned about himself, right? Cain was worried about his own safety, and God, in his loving kindness again, to Cain, put a mark on him so that if anybody would slay him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And I'm pretty sure those were two different Enochs, unless I'm wrong. But because Enoch was the son of Jared. Enoch, the one that walked with God, was the son of Jared. Any comments on that?
After Noah came off the ark, again, the family lines were separate. And God's testimony about mankind was that the imaginations of man's heart is evil from his youth. And so we see what we can do with the imaginations of our heart. We can either surrender to God, submit to God, walk with God. And we need to walk with God, or we walk after the imaginations of our heart. And we see people who went one way, and that's the beauty of the scriptures. And that is the reality of our own lives. We can go one way or we can go the other. But we need God. Hmm. We need to know God.
Thank you. Amen. I found it also interesting that the men lived to be old, but then when they chose, somewhere along the line in this chapter, God says the years of a man will only be 120 years. But we have Seth, Enos, Canaan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah, and those all lived to be very old men with the exception of Enoch, I think all of them lived like up into the many hundreds of years. So, okay, maybe along with that, Titus 1:16. When I was looking for verses that talk about just the words "know God." And I could only, maybe I was wrong, but in my e-sword, I didn't spend a lot of time on that. I just wanted to read the word. Sometimes we can get so into how many verses of this and that, and it just, you get way more than what you can digest at one time. But I think that was the only verse that had the words "know God" in, from my, that like in the order of "know God." And you can check that if you like, but the scripture in Titus, does someone have it? Would like to read that verse? Ray here has it.
The 16th verse in the first chapter of Titus?
Yes.
They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate.
Yeah, there I was. I was looking for a good verse, and then I, you know, something positive. But that's the one that I found. And another one is Romans 1:21, and that was "knew God." And I think it's right here. Romans 1:21 says this: because that when they knew God. And this was going through my mind too. If we really know God, how can this happen? What's happening here? Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. I didn't think that's possible. I didn't think there would be a scripture verse that would say that. When someone actually knew God. And doesn't that grieve your heart? Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Maybe someone has a comment on that verse. How can that happen? Or does it happen? Has it happened to you that you suddenly realize there's an area in your life that was become darkened? You weren't thankful. God forbid that happens in our lives. Someone have something to say on that verse, Brother Ray?
I don't see this. Reading it in context, I guess, is saying that they knew God, as in knowing Him. Any man who cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out, like Jesus said, as in knowing God and His forgiveness and His grace. I see it more as knowing that there is a God and knowing that God created the heavens and the earth and the creation and so on, but they glorified Him not. But they knew that He was that kind of a God, but they didn't actually know Him in the spiritual sense.
Okay, thanks. Brother Alvin?
In light of people like Cain, who God existed,
yeah,
I
right.
think in that light, the script knew right well. They didn't want to. Their heart was dark. They didn't love the Lord. His worship wasn't accepted.
Thank you for bringing that out. So that's true. You can know of God, but there's a difference between knowing of God and knowing God. Okay, I don't know. How much time do we have? I was thinking, what are the things that happen when we know God? Or how do we get to know God better? Put it that way. Maybe somebody has comments on that. Just practical things of knowing God. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Dwight?
Well, I had to think about, you know, when it comes to relationships, to get to know someone, we spend time with them, right? We listen to their heart, we find out who they are, and spending time with the Lord would definitely help us to get to know Him. I had to think too on one of Paul's greatest passions as you study his life was to know Him and to make Him known.
To know Him and to make Him known. To know Him and to make Him known. Thank you. Anyone else? Marvin and then Ibra. Or Ibra and then Marvin.
I learned from my own experience as a young boy. I don't want to go into the different experience, but in Proverbs 15, there was a verse that really answered itself. There must be some power beyond my understanding at that age, and still is. The very first verse in Proverbs 15, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. And that word grievous acts exactly opposite as a soft answer.
So by that, you're either turning people to God, because God is forgiveness, and like people say, people are fighting and they're angry at each other, but as soon as there's a soft answer or even a parent with a soft answer, it turns away that wrath. But if you have the opposite, like you said, it turns people away from God, right? Thanks. Brother Marvin?
I think we have to know God, we have to be willing to be conformed to His will. And to know God's will, I think we have to know Him. Maybe I'm confused, but that's how it seems to me, that we need to learn to know God before we can do His will, that we have to want His will, and then He will show Himself to us. And I was just reminded in this discussion about I think it's Clement of Alexandria. I think David Brousseau translated the book. It's entitled "The One Who Knows God," and throughout the whole book, he says that the one who knows God does this or this. The one who knows God has good works. He would never do something bad, something that is against the will of God. And I think that would, it seems to mean that if somebody knows God, then he will read the Bible, find out what God's will is, because he knows that God is righteous and just and whatever those three things were, that's loving kindness. That's the kind of God that He is. So he will be walking with God and becoming more conformed to His will. And for myself, I think there have been many times that I've not been knowing God. I haven't been focusing my attention on Him and what kind of a God He is. And then I'm not doing like this Clement of Alexandria said. I'm not producing the fruits as much during those times. So we need to get back to knowing him. My thoughts came back to this verse that I read in Philemon, verse 6. I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. It won't become effective if we don't zero in on that and focus on that. Narrower focus, like a beam of, like a mag light, flashlight is focused to a narrow beam. We're going to be focusing on what actually belongs to us, because we have been baptized into his death, into the death of Christ. So the more we focus on knowing God, the more effective we will become, because we have a knowledge of God in us.
Thank you. Tom?
The verse you pointed out in Romans chapter 1 is a downward. It's away from knowing God. It says that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. And that to me looks like they were at a crossroad. And if they had chosen the opposite thing would have happened. And so to me, this verse would say that if we glorify God for who we know he is, then we'll get more light on who God is, and we'll know God better. And then here, these individuals, their lives start to follow their hearts. And I think that our lives also, if we do the opposite, our lives will also follow our heart.
Thank you. Yes, isn't that true? That these people started to profess themselves to be wise instead of, like, the other characters we talked about. They didn't glory in any wisdom that they had, but they gloried only in God. Dinika?
Yeah, I also think, I know that we really learn to know God through, like, difficult stuff in life, like with Bev dying and stuff. But no matter how much it hurts, I mean, you can just see God can really work powerfully through, like things like that. Even, I don't know, like, you don't want it because it hurts so much, but, you know, through it happening, like the one song says, within there is a yearning for the hurting to subside, but not at the risk of losing what you're doing in my life. And we really learn to know God through stuff like that.
Thank you. I just wrote a few things down. We need to walk with God, talk with God, sit with God, and go with God. Just some simple things. Walk with God, talk with God, sit with God, go with God. Mary, she wanted to sit with Jesus and learn. And that, again, is two different things. She wanted to learn of God, and her sister wanted her to help and be caught up in the cares of life, even though those things need to be done. We all know that, but sometimes we can make excuses that the cares of things that need to be done take priority, that we think need to be done, and they do need to be done, but sometimes maybe we overrate them or lift them up, the things of the cares of this life that need to be done, and we're missing out with God by not sitting with him and listening. I find that in my own life when I'm reading His Word, or when even when I'm going about my work, if I'm not thinking about, if I'm just listening and just quietly or even verbally or whatever, in even when I'm scraping the freestalls in the barn, you know, it's a job that you don't like to do, but if you're praising the Lord, all of a sudden He'll speak to you, and because you're not thinking about the work, really, you're thinking about Him, and that's a blessing. Maybe one more passage here that I wrote down, and it's about Abraham in Genesis 15. And maybe I'll close with this. These scriptures from Genesis 15, 1 to 6. Genesis 15, 1 to 6. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. It says, So God counted it to him for righteousness. So, along with those four things that I mentioned, walk, talk, sit, and go, we first need to believe God, like Abram to Abraham, the father of faith. He believed God, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Thanks so much for all your input, and keep on studying.